turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. I'd like to finish that passage today, the Lord willing, where I left off last Sunday on Father's Day. And we preached on the Father down at the Father's house. And you remember the son had left home and he had received his inheritance. He went out and he wasted it with righteous living. It didn't take him long to spend all he had. And it doesn't matter how much we got this morning. You get out in the middle of this world and leave the Father's house, it won't take you long. You'll be spent out. But aren't you glad when you spin out, there's a comeback child. He came back to the Father's house. And so this morning we pick up this chapter now. He's come home. And by the way, the Father had compassion on him, ran and kissed him. I'm glad we got a God still in the forgiving business. So the Bible says in verse number 25, now his elder son was in the field. Look where he was. He's in the field, and as he came, he drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, thy brother's come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, capital letter, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you today. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you how this choir's touched my heart this morning. God, you've established in your Word that upon the first day of the week, we are to come to your house, honor you and worship you in spirit and in truth. God, may the focus of this ministry be only that, of honoring you and uplifting your son. Help us now to stay true to your word. I pray you'd use me to be a blessing to the people this morning. Thank you for those that have been saved lately. God will soon be baptized. I thank you for these. Thank you for your word. It's still right and relevant in this day and this hour. And God, thank you for these little children in our church. Their mom and daddies, our friends and family. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I'm going to preach this morning on what you pouting about. What you pouting about. Now, I want to say, first of all, in the beginning of Luke 15, where the father allowed his son to leave home, you'll notice in life and raising children, sometimes the parents has to make some hard decisions. The father knew what was out there. He knew his path was leading to the far country, but yet God allowed him to go, and he found out some things that his father could not teach him at home, but he taught him a lot of things in the far country. So he came to himself. When he came home, he certainly appreciated the Father receiving him. I believe he had a new perspective on life. He said, I had everything that I'd ever need. Yet I went out into a far country and I had friends as long as I had things. But when my things run out, I found nobody around me. So he comes back home to the Father's house, and certainly we know the text, the Father received him. And now he's got an older brother. The Bible describes him as the elder brother. And so I want to take you in this truth of the text today. First of all, if you'll notice the elder brother's description. His description is found in verse 25. I want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church if you can and read along with us. Bring you a pen and underline some things that will help you. Now, verse 25, the description of the elder brother. Now, his elder son was in the field. This description, since he was elder, it reminds me that he was involved in leadership. He was a leader also. He had a younger brother. I don't know if there were other children. Perhaps it was. But yet the emphasis is upon the younger brother, the elder brother, and the father. And so here, his description, we see that he's to be a leader. We that are older, we ought to lead, and we ought to lead right. Now, I want to say to the older people in our church, you may think that even though that our eyes are becoming dim, our steps are becoming sort of slow, but you're very needful in the house of God and the family of God that we may lead others in truth and let them know how we got through obstacles in life. I miss a lot of our older people that heaven is their home. A lot of questions I'd like to ask them sometimes. But now, this elder brother, his description, we find that he needed to be a leader. Not only was he a leader, but he was a laborer. The Bible said, simply in verse 25, that he was in the field. He was doing his job. He was one of great responsibility. And Liberty Baptist Church, what a great field that God has placed us in life. Your field, my field, even though they're different. But the Bible said they're white unto harvest. It's so many people dying without God and waking up in a devil's hell. Oh, the field. He was very busy. He was doing what he needed to be doing. He was a leader, but he was a laborer. And I want to say he was very loyal. He simply was tending to his lot in life. And you know something? We don't get to pick our lot in life many times, but God places us in a family for a reason. You just didn't happen by. God allowed you to be born for this day and this hour. You were no accident. And let me tell you something. If you was born a girl, you're still a girl. And if you was born a boy, you're still a boy. And God has put you in the pathway of where you need to be. What great responsibilities this elder brother had at the house. We see his description. He was a leader. He was a laborer. He was loyal, but yet he was limited. There was something going on in this elder brother that maybe on the surface everything seemed to be good. He could put on a great facade. He knew how to smile. He knew how to dress. He knew how to do, but inside it was something bothering him, and it kept him very limited at the Father's house. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be limited at the Father's house. I want to get in every chance I get when the choirs are singing and the good Holy Ghost is stirring. I want to get on in the party this morning. I don't want to be on the outside of pouting. I want to be on the inside of shouting. I wish I had somebody help me preach on a Sunday morning. I don't want to be a pouting. I want to be shouting because God has been so good to me. And if he'd have took time out, he'd have seen how good God was to him. But certainly we see his description. Verse 25, we see his disturbance. I love my Bible. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh the house, he heard music and dancing. There's a party going on. Boy, he's been out in the field. He's been working, and now he comes in and he hears this music and dancing. Therefore, he inquires about a servant. He said, what's this all about? And I wondered in studying this passage if this servant might have thrown a jab. I don't know, but he said this simply in verse number 26. He called one of the servants and he asked what these things meant. And he said to him, thy brother has come. I want to say something today. I've never said, never thought about it. I don't really think he wanted his brother to come back home. I think he is very jealous and envious of his brother. I'm not sure that he was really glad that the boy had come home. I want to say something, and I'll say it again, I said it last Sunday. I don't care how far they get out yonder. Honey, when they come back to the Father's house, we are to welcome them and praise God that He's reached in their life. Now, this text fits a lot of church people. You've never been away from home. You've never been in the hog pen. Young people, thank God for you that have not. And I want to encourage you to stay home. But I want to say something. If you do leave and go out in this world, there are repercussions that's going to happen in your life. There's nothing like being in the Father's house. But I want to say, if you go way out there, and when you come to yourself and you come back, I'm certainly not going to say you got what you deserve, because I know what I deserve. And so there's a description. Now there's a disturbance. The Bible said in verse 25, his elder son, he heard one of the servants, he said, thy brother's come. The father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And here's our text about this disturbance. Watch, he was angry. Well, that's a terrible place to be, to be angry. It's terrible to be angry. I don't like to get angry. When I get angry, it takes me a while to get over being angry. I don't like anger. Anger will take you and me to places that we certainly have no business in being. Now, this anger, it's riled up in him, I believe, because of unforgiveness. His brother had done something. I don't know if he ever liked him or not. But I know this in reading the text, the elder brother thought a whole lot of himself. And I want to show you how much he thought of himself. Look in verse 29 as he's sort of chewing the father out. He said, now, you've done all this for him. He said, these many years, look, do I, capital, serve you. Neither transgressed I, capital, at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gave us. Here it is, me, a kid that I might make merry with my friends. He thought a lot of himself. And you know, it'd be a great day when it would dawn on us that it's not about me and you. So if you get to sing, hallelujah. If you get to preach, hallelujah. No use in getting your feelings hurt. It ain't about me. And it ain't about you. Somebody had said, they had gave me a lengthy text the other week. They'd visited a church and not many people spoke to them. They become offended. And I wanted to reply a lot, but you know, when you send a text, you can't take it back. Somebody say amen. I want to say, well, now, was you there to worship the Lord and honor Him, or was you there to get petted on? But I didn't send it, but I thought about it. And so it was simply, he is very caught up in himself. There's a disturbance. He becomes angry. And then, verse 28, there's a decision. Look what happens in the Bible. Not only is there a description and a disturbance, but now there's a great decision. He had an option in verse 28. The party was going on. The Bible said he was angry. And look what your Bible says, and would not go in. It didn't say he could not go in, but he would not go in. You see, he had a choice. He could get in on what God was doing, but he was so caught up in his feelings and how he thought he had been mistreated. He would not go in. But I want to say in this message, he could have went in his decision, but he was very angry. Now, he would not go in, and his father came out and entreated him. That's a big word that compasses a lot of things. He's pretty much trying to talk with him through the situation, talking good sense in him. As far as we know, he never went in. The father come out on the porch. He come out from inside of what was going on to try to get him to move ahead of himself and get on the great things that God was doing. Now, this description, this disturbance, this decision, he was very angry. You know, angry and unforgiveness, a lot of times they come together. You know, every time we're angry, it's not about unforgiveness, but a lot of times unforgiveness does bring anger. Anger simply means we desire to hurt people who have wounded or hurt us. It's wanting a revenge. I was reminded by a little boy sitting on a park bench. Unforgiveness is a lot like him. Man come by and little boy had big facial expressions. He was obviously sitting there on that bench in agony. I mean, he asked the little boy, "What are you doing, son? Why you look so miserable?" He said, "I'm sitting on a bumblebee." He said, "Why don't you get up?" The little boy replied, "Because I figure I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me." That's a lot like us. I want to say, get off of it this morning. Get off of it. It'll help you in life. You know, there's the course of anger. Lets me know you can be at the Father's house, but yet a great way off. I wonder, was he further than the younger boy was? Maybe this course of anger, perhaps the older brother was there first, so he assumed he had all of the rights. Even though he was at home, he didn't know what was going on. He had no idea what was happening inside, even though he was there. He had no idea what was going on inside. I see a lot of folks with that blank look when they come in church. Look around, they have no idea what's going on. Can I tell you that God loves you and He sent His Son to die for you on the cross? And if you have repented of your sins and turned by faith and received Christ, and you've been saved and the Spirit of God lives in you, you ought to want to be at church. Boy, it just done my heart good when the choir was singing this morning. Does my heart good to see you children smiling and enjoying life. I seen little Collins running to her mama crying because her mama had left her and went up in the choir. That's only natural. I love the family. Yet this elder brother, he didn't realize what was really happening inside. Instead of being so glad, he was so mad. Why would somebody get so mad that somebody come home? It's amazing to me, but I think we can all relate to this situation. You see, this is the truth of the text. He thought God owed him something. He really thought that the Father owed him more. You see, the younger son didn't think the Father owed him anything. But the elder brother thought he owed him more. I want to ask y'all today, what more could God do for me and you than what He's already done? Sometimes it does us good to just take an inventory and see how good God has been to us. I want to ask you this, why didn't He try to go and find the younger brother? And then I want to ask you this, when He's responding to the Father, you see what He said? He said, as soon as this thy son, in verse 30, was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. I want to say something. How did he know what was going on? Was he judging him? Most of the time, listen to me, don't throw nothing at me now, I'm going to make a statement. Most of the time when you judge people, you're judging people by what you would do if you had the opportunity. Oh, I know what they're doing. I know what they did. It may be just because you know what you would have done. Because we're all quite human, aren't we? And so, this course of anger, and then the curse of anger. Let me say this. Anger and unforgiveness always destroys our happiness. It robs our joy. Not only does it destroy our happiness, but it distorts our usefulness. My goodness, he was in the field very busy, and the Father wanted him to get in on what's going on inside. And I want to say, the curse of anger, it destroys our happiness, it distorts our usefulness, but thirdly, it disturbs our oneness. Well, anger's a bad thing. If you don't get it handled, unforgiveness is a bad thing if you don't get it handled. There's a course of anger and the curse of anger, but I'm glad there's a cure for anger. See, it involves decisions. It really does. My wife keeps me balanced a lot. I guess if I've got any balance, but a lot of times she'll say, well, Ken, you've got a decision. Now, you can sit there. You can ponder this all day, or you can go get busy. Got a decision to make. He had a decision. Life's decisions are very important. You know, humans are the only creatures that God did not finish when He made them. Oh, I know He made us complete, but you ask a little puppy when he's born, what you going to be, puppy? I'm going to be a dog. You ask a little pony, what you going to be, little pony? I'm going to be a horse. But see, God allows us to complete our own lives and determine our attitudes and our spirits by decisions. I will go here. I will not go there. I will do this. I will not do this. I will think of this and I will not think of that. Our decisions have made us who we are. Cure for anger. Decisions. We must choose that we're going to give it to the Lord. We must choose. There's a great work to be done in the field. We must choose it. There's a party going on and I want to get in on it. I don't know why some of you don't raise your hands no more. Hadn't God done something for you? I don't know why many of y'all's amens got broke. And amen means true. Don't you think the Word of God's still true? You say, well, I think church ought to be quiet. Show me that in your Bible. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise Him on the high cymbal. Praise Him on the trumpet. Pray, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Some of y'all need to get used to hand raise. Well, I don't like it. I ain't emotional, really. You're not emotional. You'll go down in traffic in Atlanta. Six lanes, folks running over the top of you. Rolling down their windows, giving you them good luck signs all down the road. So you don't have no anger. You're not emotional. You're not emotional. Some of y'all think Miss Renee, she's so even-keeled and non-emotional. Let me tell you, she's very emotional. I'm very emotional. I was reminded of my pastor I sat under. He said he went to a meeting one time and said revival broke out and he looked around at them people. He said, these people crazy. He said, man, they had throwing their hands up and jumping up a shouting and a praise. He said, I've never been raised in none of that. He said, but you know, it wasn't all bad. I got to thinking sort of about it. And he said, I looked around. Nobody was looking. I'd done that. And he said, that didn't bother me. That's pretty good. He said, I come back Tuesday night. He said, it broke out again. And folks was a shouting and a amening. And he said, I never seen such. He said, I looked. Nobody was looking. He said, I got my hand on up. He said, you know, that's pretty good. He said, I come back on Thursday night, that third time. He said, it broke out. Meeting got to going on. I heard somebody a shouting and a hollering. I come to myself and it was me. Can I tell you this morning? God is worthy of our praise. You know, it's sort of like this. You pull up in the parking lot in your 55 Rambler. You young folks don't know what that is. Us young people know what. Somebody pulls up in a brand new car. The devil tell you, boy, look what they got. Look what you've been doing all this time and boy, look what you got. I want to say something. Thank God I ain't a-walking this morning. Thank God I got shoes on my feet. Thank God I got bread on the table. Thank God my family's good as it is. I got a lot to thank Him for. And I want to get in on the party this morning. I don't want to look at what you got. I want to see what I got. And enjoy the goodness of God in this day, in this hour. I want to ask y'all something. Folks invite y'all to a party. Y'all just show up without nothing. That's why I don't invite y'all to my parties. Y'all want me to have all the ribeyes and T-bones. Say amen, Brother Steve. Somebody's got to bring something to the party. Let me ask y'all something. When we come to Liberty Baptist Church, we're gathering in the Father's house. What are we bringing to the party? There was a dancing there. Have you cut a jig out yonder yet? That'd do some of y'all good in your religious makeup. Pull right downtown at the red light and Bowden. Put it in park. Get out with the doors open to say hallelujah, hooray for Jesus. Why, folks in the Mexican restaurant would clear out. You get the front row seat to see. God's been so good to us. Brother Mike, I want to show you something I seen yesterday. And I've preached this text so many times. I like what somebody told me this morning. I forget who told me. Coming out of the prayer room. I said, yeah, I'm going to preach something that I've preached several times. He said, preacher, I'll tell you what somebody told me one time. He said, if you use a shotgun, shoot a rabbit and eat, you don't throw the shotgun away, you eat the rabbit. Somebody say amen. I'm glad this old Bible shoots again and again and again. But I want to show you something I've seen. It's in verse, let me find it. Verse 30, watch this and I'm done preaching. Listen at his statement. He's talking to the father now, the elder brother. But as soon as this thy son was come. You see that? As soon as this thy son. Talking about his brother. Look how God responds to him. In the same vernacular, verse 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad for this thy brother. He responded to God on this thy son, but God responded to him, this thy brother. You know what he's saying? He's saying, boy, don't you forget, you're in the same family. Then lastly this morning, not only do we see the elder brother's description, oh, he was the elder, much was required of him. Not only do we see his description, his disturbance, he was angry, his decision, he would not go in, but I want to close with his destiny. His destiny. And I'm done preaching. You see, many people said this was one of the greatest parables that the Lord ever wrote in our Bible. And I noticed this about his destiny. The story simply closes and he says in verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. His destiny, this is what I want to say this morning. You see, God left the story open. I don't know if he ever went in or not. I wonder, will you ever get in on what God's doing? You see, he got to write the end of his story by you making a right decision this morning. You could write the end of your story. Be sure you can. Here the Lord left the story open, and it is as his destiny depended upon what he wanted to do with it. The Bible says that he would not go in, but he could. Y'all reckon he ever went in? I don't know. But I want to tell you this. For me and my house, I want to get in on it. I want to get in on what God's doing. You know, you can look around here this morning, right before the week of 4th of July, a lot of people gone. If you're not careful, you'll get to looking. You'll get to feeling sorry for yourself. Well, why they got that and I don't? Well, I can tell you this, the younger son, he got in a lot of trouble when God answered his prayer. He should have said, Lord, if it's all right, I'd love to have what's mine. But he said, give me. I want to thank God for the prayers he didn't answer. I prayed a big prayer 30 years ago, asked God to let me go to a church. It was in my heart. But God was so good to me. He didn't answer that prayer. And I'm so thankful. So thankful that he didn't answer that one. But I want to say on the backside of that, I'm so thankful for the ones that he has answered. This morning, Miss Sherry, play. You know, the devil, he's real good at showing you what you don't got. But when we open our Bible, we'll realize what we do have. He had everything. Matter of fact, the father said, son, everything I've got, you've got. You've got everything. What? Why don't you enjoy what the father had? And then, just as an old country preacher, I want to say this, and I promise you I'm done after this. Why didn't the elder brother simply ask him for it? If this calf at his kill for his brother has got him all tore up, why didn't he ask the father for one himself? He'd probably give it to him. Let's stand around the house this morning.